He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
I had a deer accident or impact this weekend on Route 44 in Salisbury. Miraculously, nothing happened. I'm not quite sure how I avoided damage, but the interesting thing about it is my emergency braking system on my Hyundai Sonata, which was the car I was in when the deer came out and decided to collide with me, went into full force. It may have mitigated the situation enough by slowing the car down enough so that the deer glanced off the bumper. I don't know what it glanced off, but it hit and ran off, and nothing happened to the car. I don't know how I did it, but these automatic braking systems, which many of you listeners may or may not have experienced on the newer cars, that is, those of you who have newer cars, takes over the braking force if you hit the brake suddenly and forcefully with your own motion, but then can't push hard enough, or you keep trying to push hard, the automatic system takes over and brakes the car as fast as it can brake the car, combining the anti-skid capabilities with the braking forces for the car. It's quite an impact on your neck. It works.
So let me ask you this. On your Hyundai, is it a brake assist? Do you actually have to touch the pedal first, or is it an automated emergency braking system?
No, it is not a sensor instigated braking force.
It does not have
this new technology.
You hit the brake, and then it...
I hit the brake forcefully. Actually, I started to brake. I saw the deer before the deer came out. The deer was on the side of the road. It was looking like it was going to cross. It hadn't crossed. I started to brake thinking it might, and I wanted to be sure I could stop. I got almost by it, and it decided to come out and headed for the front of my car, at which point I pushed hard on the brake, and the car braking system took over. And the only thing it does is it really snaps you against your seatbelt.
Sure.
And there's another reason why you should be wearing seatbelts, as should passengers, because anything in the back seat or anything unrestrained was thrown forward in the car during that forceful braking motion.
So this brings me to, I was reading an article just this morning on what we call automated emergency braking system.
AEBS, not
yep.
to be confused with ABS.
So these systems are basically
collision avoidance systems.
They're combined with the adaptive cruise control. It's the same technology, but it is, whether you're using your adaptive cruise control or not, it's the system that will brake in an emergency situation if a vehicle in front of you comes to a stop or slows down more rapidly than expected. And these systems will become, by 2022, they will become standard on pretty much 99% of the cars on the road. And it's not any new rules or laws, but 20 of the prominent manufacturers, automakers, have agreed to put them standard on all of their cars.
Well, presumably, if something works that well, it should.
Well, and here's the thing, that well is to be defined, and it brings us back to a conversation we've had that's along the same lines as self-driving cars. It's basically whether the car is going to slow down for the obstacle in front or not, and it's the decision-making and the programming of these systems and how well they work. And all the false positives where the car actually brakes for an obstacle that really isn't there.
Yeah.
And so there are technical limitations. There are also legal implications. And
there are ethical implications.
There are ethical implications. In this case, in the automated emergency braking systems, the manufacturers are very clear that they do work but not all the time. And you cannot rely on them as a substitute for paying attention to
what is running in front of you.
Which is what we've been saying
which is true with life and technology anyway. And that's the key thing.
So
it's still a verb.
To that point, though, is really true self-driving cars, are they going to be actually appropriate and able to function without you having to spend all your time watching the road carefully, keeping your hands on the wheel and your foot ready to brake if something fails?
Yes and no. And before we get
yes
back to
no?
that,
okay.
Yes and no, both. Let me finish off with the braking systems. So they tested, I think it was four cars, a Toyota Camry, Tesla model. I don't know if it was a 3 or an S, but a Tesla with Tesla's system, a Cadillac, and a Subaru Impreza. And the systems are different. Some have radar, some have cameras. I know the Camry has one camera. The Subaru system is a system of two cameras. We've seen that. It's the EyeSight system, we know, and you can see those two little cameras on each side of the review mirrors on all Subaru models. And they actually work pretty well. So the tests were, you put a stopped car in front of you, and the car comes at a certain speed. Up to what speed will the car stop? And these cars,
20 to 30 miles an hour is what MotorWeek's tests are showing, and they generally have one of these test stop dummies. It's probably cardboard or something, so it's not going to hurt the car if it fails. But every week they are testing some of these safety systems on their TV show. And you can watch it, but I believe they say it's between 20 and 30 miles an hour.
Actually,
they won't do it at 70 to 80 miles an hour.
No, the Subaru will work up to 40. And at 50, some cars will just take the speed down to a certain level and the impact will be minimized. But all of them have the same
idea.
The same thing is if you come in at 60 miles an hour and there's a stopped object, they just won't work. They're not even trying. So again, the system has limitations. But in the meantime, they do help in this mostly in stop and go traffic where you are.
To lose your you vague out and not pay as much attention. Go on.
So they're an aid. They're an aid, and they do help, but it does not allow you to take your eyes off the road.
So with every good idea and innovation that goes into the cars, which require additional sensors placed all around the cars, in the grills, on the side view mirrors, maybe in the roof, in the mirrors, in front of the rearview mirror, inside, up on the windshield. I don't know where they're going to be putting them next. But a word to the wise as far as people who have cars fully laden with these systems, and as Jay says, many of them are going to be standard installations by 2022. When you have an accident in one of these cars, the costs to repair are going to skyrocket because all these radar systems and camera systems that are attached are linked, if not wirelessly or wired by wire, wirelessly, but they're all aimed very fine parameters so that they see what they're supposed to see and do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And if you get in an accident, they're all going to be jarred or dismembered from the car.
What if you're either a bad parallel parker in New York?
That could happen too, Jill. You could hit a post.
But what I'm saying is
cut too close. But the point really is that the cost of repair are going to go up, and that means insurance rates may go up on the cost of these cars.
But the point is,
irrespective of what you want to say. So go ahead.
Well,
the point is expenses are going up.
And the point is that even without getting into an accident, but with just usual wear and tear, those expenses can go up. Because if somebody clips you and clips your fender that you don't even know about, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, but so let's face it. In time, when more and more of these cars will be equipped with these systems and all these little cameras and
electronics.
Electronics and radars and LIDARs, in time, there will be less of these little accidents. And already cars now, you're talking about city parkers. You have all the beepers on the cars when you have backup cameras, but you also have the beepers on the front. So
well, here's the
you
liability
should be hitting
part
less
of that
cars
too.
When parking. I mean,
you should.
You should. I'm talking about cars that.
Well, the issue really is going to be on Jill's point, a lot of people may hit something inadvertently and not any have any clue where these sensors are in their cars, and therefore never get them repaired for a while, and then have an accident, then they don't go off. I don't know what's going to happen in the legal liability aspect of that, and the front bumpers or fenders or front clips and rear clips of cars have the beepers and the sensors for backing up and forward collision avoidance. And you bend a bumper, and a lot of people bump their cars. And these bumpers only have, 2.5 mile per hour reflex capability before they get damaged. And if you, dent these bumpers, you may dent the sensors.
That's all I would say.
So we can go back to bumpers from 1974 to 19 whatever.
No, it's just.
And I know a lot of people who don't get their bumpers fixed, including myself. If it's so innocuous and it costs so much to repair a bumper, a lot of people aren't going to pay the cost, especially if it's with deductibles on insurance. So the electronics are going to make the cars safer, but they're also going to make the cars more expensive. And there's both to buy and to repair.
And there's the cost aspect of repairs, and we get back to driver, quote-unquote, training as the other aspect of this technology and the skills that are needed to drive these cars. Interestingly, I had a friend who, an older gentleman, had the opportunity to drive a very current, modern, all bells and whistles SUV yesterday. And we talked to him, actually, Robin and I talked to him this morning, and he was shaking his head. And this is a guy who's actually a good driver, has driven a lot of cars, has driven, for the last 50-plus years, and he was shaking his head. And he was saying, it would take me a week to figure out how
to learn the systems.
To learn the systems in this car.
To that point, I had a sort of interesting, I was noodling around, looking at cars this
weekend.
That's
dangerous.
Yeah, it was. No, absolutely dangerous. And because there are things about my 08 that I was, that I'm very happy with, that just in terms of interior and whatnot. And to my shock, really, I felt like somebody that you knew a long time ago was like, could I just have knobs for my windows? And I was like, ha ha, no, you can't. But I was really surprised to see the amount of the dashboards, the amount of technology, the lack of knobs, and I was kind of taken aback with one particular model that, and I went to a friend who had just gotten one a few, I don't know.
What was the model?
Spit it out.
Spit it out.
Come on.
Yes, that's what we want to talk about.
Okay.
We can talk about models.
It was a Volvo XC90.
Okay.
Okay, that was the car we were talking
about. That was the car we were talking about.
So, therefore, I went and I was looking at the pictures. And I was like, God, I don't even like that. I don't like the lights. What happened to the interior? Anyway, I snuck over to his house. I looked inside his car, and I sent him a text. Good morning. What year is your XC90? 2006. I was like, oh, no wonder. And then I suddenly went, hey, anybody remember that they had that model out in 2006?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Terrific. And it was a nice car.
It's gorgeous.
It sold
very well.
Very well for a long time.
Except the radio's not great, but...
Well, that the radios are another thing in these cars.
But that I didn't want to go... I shouldn't mention it.
Apropos of what you're talking about, since you were sort of poking around a newer, old, or older or newer car, somebody is telling me that she wants to replace her car. But she didn't want all these bells and whistles. And I said, well, there's a lot of safety in them, but to do that right now, you better go buy a pre-owned, three-year-old off-lease, pre-owned car as fast as you can, because all these bells and whistles have started appearing in the last 2 to 3 years. And pretty soon you're going to go buy a pre-owned car in 3 more years, and then they're going to be this year's models, which have all the pre-owned things.
Absolutely.
And she took my suggestion to heart. Whether she will act on it, I don't know. But she was very serious that she did not want some of the things.
Right. And with that in mind,
I know. Jay wants to comment. It's inevitable we're going to have them.
Yep.
And it's inevitable, and it's a good thing.
We're not saying good or bad. I'm not taking a value. I'm just saying, yeah. Hey, there are things that I like, and so basically, my decision was, okay, great. I'm going to keep driving this car. Thanks.
I think I'll be the first to agree that I like buttons on dashboards. Tuning a radio with a screen only is
a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
It's an unnecessary nightmare.
And
that's
and
all I'm talking
I'm
about.
Back to system, you know.
Was that the thing on the Volvo too that he was complaining that he was talking about? He said trying to tune the radio was a nightmare in this Volvo XC90.
It's complicated, and Volvo has come back and has simplified their systems for 2019, I think, and actually. I'm not sure they've added buttons, but they've reviewed the way the center screen functions.
Unfortunately, it takes 1 or 2 or 3 years once they pull a new technology in to get the feedback from the consumer back to the ears at the manufacturer to try to fix some of these things.
Yep.
Jeep started to fix some of the things. Their Uconnect system is deemed to be one of the best systems of all of cars on the road, bar none. And they also have knobs for the radio. You can tune the tuning knob to tune up one channel at a time instead of pushing a button which skips over the faint signals you don't get out here in the northwest corner. But you could get, if you could stop the darn tuner
on that thing.
Or use your hand as you can on the Jeep. They have not done the same thing with the heating system. They've done it with a fan knob, but you have to push a button and watch a little slide go up and down, whether it's cold or hot or somewhere in between,
right,
to try to get the temperature you want to come out of the vent. So it's not perfect. All these manufacturers are playing with technology because they've got young, I'll call them Turks, that are in the design department who are savvy for all these things and think this is the way everybody wants. But there's a surprising number of people who are resisting this technology to the point that they won't buy a car that doesn't have a simpler way of doing it.
And what will be really interesting is there's also a new group coming up, and I've got no idea how this is going to play out, but it made me think of it when I heard this. There's a group now that's just kind of souring.
You're talking about people.
People.
Okay.
People are just sort of tired of arguing with their screens. And so there is a bit of a
backlash,
right, which is called a techlash.
There's no question.
But as that happens in terms of driving, I think about these cars that are being all screens. Like, oh, hi, I'm in my...
Well, the Tesla's an all-screen car. Jay knows the Tesla well. He's driven them. You
Which
don't have any knobs.
I'm not... that's not my...
But to your point, the Tesla is one of the cars that's just about all screen. The new three, I believe, is just basically a touch screen for everything.
Right. I want one.
I know.
And you know, there are those who totally do, and I think that some of this copying has been people who...
So let's go down on a side note, and I don't know how close we are to finishing
Six
here.
6 minutes.
But, all right. So I was in Arizona this week, and maybe Robin should move out there because... There are a lot of older vehicles. You see 30, 40-year-old vehicles. And I talked to a... 30 or 40-year-old. I talked to a guy who... I said, oh...
Are they low riders, Jay?
Bill, you have a new truck. And he goes, oh, yeah. I said, this is my... It's actually my oldest truck. He says, I bought this truck new. I said, oh, when was that? 1972. So this guy's owned a pickup truck, a Chevy pickup truck, since 1972. There's not a spot of rust, and like all landscapers in Tucson, I think, it looks like they paint their trucks with latex, and they paint them white.
Hot out there.
Yeah, white pickup trucks, and they look like they're latex painted. But other than that, the truck looks like on day one.
We know about a Chevy truck from about that vintage that is still in operation, is, you know,
well,
but the most reliable. It's just amazing how some of those war horses go. I was interested, have either one of you happened to drive up Music Mountain recently? Because it looks as though Unearthed is a very old car, and I wouldn't be able to identify its vintage. Right. But if you see it.
Is it past the Cream Hill turnoff?
Yes.
Okay, I have not been over Music Mountain Road in weeks.
It just appeared, and it looks like it was dug up.
Did you take a picture with your iPhone?
No, I did not. Okay. I just drove by it, and you know, if anyone's curious, they can go look.
So, Jay, you want to continue with the Volvo story, the driver, and what he didn't like about it besides the radio controls?
I think it's the only point. I think the Volvo has one of the best self-driving systems. I've said that before. But the moral of the story is always it takes time to
get
learn
used
the
to
systems.
It and get used to it.
Get used to them. And we have to keep in mind that these cars, all these systems vary in their functionality from one manufacturer to another. And some are better than others, and some just act differently, behave differently. And that's the danger I see moving forward, is that all these systems need to have similar ways that they function, and also that the way you use them, the controls need to be standardized.
They do. That's a big problem.
And that's going to take time. But that's with all technology. I mean,
and how much time do you think that's going to take? Approximately, I'm just
5 years.
It's going to take more. I mean, technology is going to keep evolving. So as some things get to be standard, others are going to come out.
Well, they're getting
voice
actuation capabilities in some of these systems too, and you can talk to your car and tell them to, you know, tune your radio to 90.3 or 91.9 AM or FM or XM Sirius radio without using any buttons or turning anything. You probably can turn on the heat in some of the cars, or you could be maybe. Whether that's good or not, I don't know. When they break down will be the real key of people's tolerance for having these systems, because if they do break down, many of them are being run by computer programs as opposed to drive-by, wire, that's the same thing, but as mechanical connections,
right,
such as knobs and steering wheel columns. This ratchet steering that this guy was talking about on the Volvo, which is self-centering steering, if you start moving outside the line, the steering takes over and you can hold the wheel straight, but the car will move to the right or to the left if it senses that it's going to cross the divider line in a two-lane highway on its own.
Right.
And the Volvo had it. Some of the luxury cars, if you buy the top levels of their trims, will come with all that technology. The Jeep Cherokee, for example, Limited, can come with all that too. And it's a weird feeling the first time you have you're driving on an interstate highway and the car sort of starts steering by itself and you're not really changing the wheel position.
Can it be disabled?
That I don't think can. I don't know. Some of these systems can be disabled, but as this person we talked to this morning said, he couldn't figure out if something that he wanted to disable could be disabled. Jay, I think, told him it probably could. But that's where you have to sit there drive the car steadily for a week and learn the car, because the salespeople aren't probably going to
be able
to tell you, or are you going to remember when you drive off the lot and go home with your brand new car? Jay wants to say something.
Yeah, I'm just before we
close.
Reading about, thinking about driver's cars. I think a few minutes ago. I mean, that's what we had in our minds. You know, we look at cars as vehicles and ways of transportation, but we also enjoy driving cars. And one brand has been notorious for their ultimate driving machines, and that's BMW. And I think they've lost their ways in the last few years. But the new BMW 3 Series is coming out. The good news is it's lighter. It's going to handle better. The bad news is no stick shift and no wagons. But it should be a great car.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.